Hey, Ty, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm fine. It's so good to speak with you again.
Well, likewise. Thanks for your time, and I look forward to digging in.
You know, I would not miss out on one of your films, and I don't know, you're developing a sports theme here.
Well, I know it. I'm not going to do any more unless it happens to be from Fort Worth.
I know how much you love shooting in Fort Worth and throughout Texas. But I got to tell you, there is no way that you and Lane could have not done this story. You got to believe. Wow.
Thank you.
Watched this game when it originally happened.
Oh, wow. Did you really?
Over 20 years ago.
Yeah.
For decades, I was passionate, along with my significant other. We never missed Little League World Series. And
oh, is that right? I'll be.
And we watched this game. And it was one of the most incredible things I'd ever seen in sports, especially at this level, the Little League level. And I often wondered, I often wondered, why had nobody done a film about this? Why was there no film about such a spectacular, not just sports moment, but the human aspect and the entire Ratliff family? Leave it to you and Lane. I'll tell ya.
Well, it was Lane. You know, he went and he was pitched, I think, during the premiere of our last movie in Fort Worth. And, you know, thank goodness that, you know, he's like a dog on a bone. He went and followed up with everybody and went and did his research and spent 6 or 8 months working on it and sent us a draft. And all of a sudden it was like, oh, wow, man, you really took this to heart. And I saw why. You know, I read it, and I was like, wow, man, what a touching story. I mean, he'd given me little nuggets here and there, and I immediately when I heard it, I thought it was a very sweet, endearing, touching story, but I just didn't know truly what elements to a film were there. And sure enough, it's all there, and plenty more. Thank you. It was definitely one of those ones that we felt blessed to get our hands on.
I will be very honest with you. By the time we got to that third act, I went through half a roll of paper towels. Not Kleenex, but paper towels. I was crying so hard. You grab onto the heartstrings and you rip them out of our bodies with this one.
Gosh. Well, I hope that's a good thing and an emotional thing that takes you somewhere hopefully positive by the end of it. But yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks.
Just amazing. Now, once you had this script in place, obviously you're reteaming with Luke. Yay! Who does an amazing job once again with you. But how challenging was this casting? I know you brought in Greg, and Greg and Luke had worked before on the film Greg directed, Phil, his directorial debut.
Yeah.
Just an amazing cast, and as good as Luke and Greg are, and you get Sarah, and of course you get Lou Temple in there, who is beyond fabulous, as well as Molly Parker. But these kids that you cast, Ty, once again, I don't know what it is. You did this with 12 Mighty Orphans, and your age bracket here is a little lower than what you had with 12 Mighty Orphans. But these kids that you cast, I mean, Michael Cash, Nicholas Fry is just adorable. Etienne Kalicki is Walker. How challenging was this casting before you could even start rolling camera?
Well, thank you for all that, and I do feel very lucky with our cast on all aspects. Beyond, you know, Luke and Greg being an amazing, their buddies off screen too, which really helped. You know, that helps set the tone for everything, especially with working with kids. You know, so. You know, we shot, I don't know if you're aware, but we shot mostly in Toronto. We were unable to get our incentives in Texas, and so we had to look elsewhere. So not only, you know, was it a challenge, but I was dealing with a bunch of Canadian kids trying to become Texan kids in, you know, a 2-week period. And so I cast always by talent, of course.
Yes.
You know, I do like looks, and I do like it when people have a unique or a fresh look, or if there's a certain character calls for something particular, I certainly will look for that. It kind of fell into place in a miraculous sort of way, in that, like, most of these kids I picked in the first round, not even really knowing exactly if they were going to play those roles, but I just knew that they were talented, they had a good look, and I felt like they were, you know, ambitious enough to jump in with me and try to make these roles come to life. And it was tricky because, you know, the Canadian accent can be very telltale in that there's certain things you just are dead giveaways, right?
Yeah.
And so about 2 weeks before, you know, I was really working on the abouts and, you know, like, guys, you've got to get into character. And I sort of made him get into character as much as possible while on set, just so that there were no slip-ups.
Mm-hmm.
And they dug in. And I had one young man who literally was in character the entire time. So,
oh, my God.
But we brought in a dialogue coach to help a little bit with the accents and not overdo them, of course, but, you know, just try to even them out, level them out to a degree where they would be believable, you know. And so, but just some really talented folks up there, I got to say. I mean, you know, you look at Toronto, it's a huge city. You know, it's like New York City. It's got a multi-layering of talented folks up there. So it we had a lot to choose from in many ways, but at the same time, we got really lucky, had a great casting director up there, and kind of nailed it, I feel like, pretty quickly. It was all very fast.
Well, not only did you have to worry about eliminating the Canadian accent and adopting a more Texas accent with the kids, and I know for Luke, Greg, none of that's ever an issue, but baseball, they had to have some skills. Did you have to have a baseball clinic as well?
Well, you bet we did. We had one run. Lou Temple was a part of that, who used to play for the Strohs.
Mm-hmm.
He was a baseball coordinator for a league of their own many moons ago, which got him into the film industry. Ryan Roberts, who's a former Rattlers, I think he was a, was he a catcher? I think he was a catcher. No, he was a shortstop, I think. Awesome player. And then we had, you know, Wayne Wells, who was our stunt guy, who stunt coordinator, who basically also ran a little league a team or two, or did a camp. And then we had Lance, gosh, I can't think of Lance's last name right now. He was our Little League International consultant. So we had an amazing group of consultants there kind of watching out for every little play and helping me make sure that it sold and was right, and technically right, as well as, you know, part of the rules, right? And so we really took it step by step, and it certainly makes it challenging, but at the same time, you want to get it right, or as good as you can get it, so it feels real. And so we made these guys go through camp and 2 weeks of playing and, you know, learning how to throw and hit and catch and everything else. And it was pretty comical.
Now, were you filming the camp, training camp? Because so much of that footage sounds like you could have used that as John Kelly was trying to whip the boys into shape? Or did you wait till they had their training camp and then shoot and tell them, okay, now you can look bad?
Right. It was all rehearsals for the sake of rehearsing and training. You know, I'd go out there and work with them a little bit and film on my little iPhone, but nothing more than that. But it was good. The first time we went out there, I filmed a scene where they're arguing around the mound. And I filmed it in one take on my iPhone, and I showed it to the boys, and it all of a sudden, everything clicked, I think. Oh. It was a very defining moment. It was really good for them. to see it, because it showed them that, wow, we haven't even hardly rehearsed or trained or anything like this, and it feels good. Just the way we kind of shot it and did it, and I think it really inspired them to really work on it and to make them dig in on their baseball, and I think it was a very good, push for them that happened just very coincidentally. And sometimes, a director won't even show them a rehearsal or anything like that.
Yeah.
I showed it to them all in the moment, and I think it was the right thing at the right time, It's not something I would always do, but as a team, it really works well.
Yeah, I think in a case like this, I think you made the right decision, Ty. Because you needed them to become cohesive.
Yeah, totally.
And I think it worked really well to your advantage, and that's obvious on screen. But now, I did know you shot in Canada, which blew my mind that you left Texas to shoot. I knew it had to have something to do with tax incentives when you're doing an indie film.
I didn't expect July heat, that's for sure.
And it's a good thing that a large part of this story does take place in Williamsport, quote unquote, because the light different. The light that you get in Toronto is going to be closer to the light you get in Williamsport than Texas lighting.
That's true.
So we don't see in the early part of the film, there's nothing too dramatically different in terms of lighting that's happening. It worked to your advantage here. You got a Canadian cinematographer. You got Stuart James Cameron. This, I think, is only his second feature that he's directed. He's done a lot of shorts and some Canadian TV stuff. But very impressive camera work here.
Well, thanks. Yeah, he was a wonderful collaborator. He was very excited to play and experiment with it, and couldn't have chosen a. You got to get someone who's not too jaded in their ways, and sees an opportunity. And Stuart was all over it. He's a very hands-on, likes to experiment, likes to get out there and do things different, and change it up at the last second. He did a great job.
I love how you set the tone with the cinematography, because the story itself is emotional enough, and of course you waste no time in setting the stage for the crisis that kind of puts the wheels in motion, the impetus for the boys. And that's at the 12-minute mark of the film. You've already got Bobby Ratliff's, his diagnosis is made known. You wasted no time, which I really appreciated, because then you really got to kick into the kids and what they were trying to achieve and them setting their goals, as Bobby has his own medical goal, and they became interdependent. So you didn't waste any time with that. But what I love with your cinematography, what you and Stuart did, as we're going through the film, the scenes with Luke, be it in the hospital, be it at home, be it with him and Sarah Gayden as Bobby's wife, Patty, the camera comes in closer. It's very, very microcosmic almost, without getting into ECUs. Whereas when the boys are around, everything goes wider. Even if Bobby is sitting in the stands watching, it's wider. He's experiencing the whole world. And I love that metaphoric visual that you and Stuart created with the visual grammar. So well done.
Well, thank you. Yeah, the intimacy sort of shifts in many ways. And, when you're with the boys, you're really with the boys. And that was a big thing for us. We're both around the same age and kind of grew up with similar experiences in sports and whatnot. We wanted to capture those moments when you're, just palling around with your buddies and trying to be as kind of recreate that feeling where the spontaneity of it and, just being a little more fluid. Whereas, the more intimate moments with the family, they were a lot more controlled, and a little bit more purposeful and not quite as fluid and floaty as it is with the boys. So yeah, we made some decisions there that also just kind of, it got naturally sort of better and better as we went on, and we honed in on things, and I think it just called for that, you know, whether it was always planned or not. It just, we looked at each scene and sort of understood what the moment and, you know, what the emotion of it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how you define how you shoot something, and it just sort of kind of flows that way. But, you know, by the end of it, we were also just kind of had a second understanding of how to do things, and Stuart just sort of ran with it and did such a great job, and he truly strapped that camera on. He was an operator as well. We had two cameras, but he's a director of photography, operator, which mm-hmm. I love.
That, I think, for the kind of films that you make, Ty, I think that is a great way to go, and great when you can have a cinematographer do that. With every film, you can't do that, but for the films that you make, I think that it's wonderful when you have that opportunity. And, of course, Stuart's lighting, just wonderful. In the house, things are a little, maybe a yellow tinge to them versus the clarity of outside, the clearness. Even when it's raining, the skies are still lighter than what we have with the interiors in the family home as Bobby is battling and getting sicker. So it was very subtle, but it worked to your advantage. And then you put all of this in the hands of the man, James Crouch. You brought him back.
Yeah, you got to have a shorthand with your editor, and James is not only a great editor, but he's a good friend, and he understands, you know, how to pull those dramatic elements out of a scene, and he just is such a great guy to work with, and a joy to be around, and humorous, and you know, he's always got his little sidekick dog with him too, which is always nice. But he's one of the few, you know, I continue to work with. I mean, of course, Houston Hill, my producing partner, and, you know, a few others here and there. Typically, you know, we had to do all our Canadian team this time, so it was tough to break away from some of my old collaborators.
Mm-hmm.
But James, I fought for.
Well, and what I love is he knows how to edit sports. I saw that with 12 Mighty Orphans. He knew how to edit for emotional impact, but also not sacrificing the sport that is being shot. He did that again here. And here,
yeah,
you got a bunch of montages happening here during, like, at the one-hour mark with the region, with the, we've got when Rawhide, that whole thing starts with the Rawhide rolling. You've got a great montage there when Robert hits his first home run at the 55-minute mark. A few minutes later, we're in the regional finals. You've got a great montage there. They win. They're going to the World Series. You've got another montage later on. Those baseball montages are spectacular because you bring it back again for the August 18th game with Massachusetts versus Texas, then bring them back for the semifinal. And then again, the final out, a montage there at the 132 mark. These montages are cut so beautifully, Ty.
Thank you.
The way some of them have the ball coming right at the camera, obviously visual effects tossed in there, but the speed at which they're cut, and James, he varies the speed of the frames in each of the montages.
Oh, yeah.
That blew me away. So well done. How did you guys come up with that idea?
Well, you know, we started with the baseline. I mean, the script was somewhat written in a montage-y sort of way, but
mm-hmm.
you know, I had to go in and kind of really break it down, because in order to shoot a montage, you have obviously a lot of shots that connect with others.
Right.
But you have to get very specific. And when you get specific, it kind of makes it a little simpler to edit at the end because, you know, things were framed that way. And, you know, or the motion of something going in the same direction or you know, whatever it may be. But James sort of went in and plotted it out and made sure that all that worked. And sometimes, most of the time I think it did work, but sometimes it didn't. And we had to look for other shots or other concepts that worked. But, you know, anytime you've got good action shots, good fun, you know, ball perspectives and player perspectives, and good music, it makes for having a lot of fun in the editorial suite. They're a lot of fun to edit, and I definitely think, you know, James has a good hand in how the energy of them come together, and he gets really creative with them too. So, you know, it's just one of those things he's getting really good at, and you know, I have absolute trust in him now. And you know, he typically, before showing me something, he can get it very close. Sometimes we got to dig in a little bit and refine a few things here and there, or make them, you know, shorter or tighter or whatever it may be. But I mean, he really gets them very close to the finish line, you know. So just a really great, talented young man to collaborate with. That you know, thank goodness he's on my team. You know, he's done a number of features in the last few years, and he's just getting better and better. He's a fine young editor, and he's going to have a great career.
Yeah, I loved what he did with the Accidental Texan. I loved what he did with the Long Game. But the Accidental Texan, I was so thrilled immediately to see him on that one. And he did a great job. But I have to say, Ty, there are very few films where I think 5 individual montages are appropriate.
Yeah.
This is one of the films where it is appropriate, especially as well cut as they are and as well placed as they are. It's seminal emotional moments within the story. Just absolutely wonderfully done. I am so thrilled and impressed by what you and James did there.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, you know, it helps. We had some great music. I don't know if you know or saw that Mike McCready did some of those guitar jams for us, Pearl Jam.
I saw that. I'm thinking, is that where the budget went? The music is great. I love your end title song. That is absolutely beautiful, My Son. It really encapsulates the whole film.
Well, that's Mike. Yeah, he did an awesome job. I thought he was kind of honing in on a little John Lennon there or something. It was really well done.
What was the most gratifying aspect of making this film, You Gotta Believe?
Well, I think, you know, it's always so fun to work with kids, and I was able to have my son on the film, and he played Peanut.
Mm-hmm.
John Ratliff.
Yep.
The little brother. And for him to be able to have that experience with him was something that very few directors get to do. So, you know, to me, that was one of the most satisfying things that I could have ever asked for. But, you know, just working with the kids is always a lot of fun. We had some really good kids out there. And, you know, Michael Cash is going to be a star in Caliche. Nicholas Fry was amazing. I mean, they were all really amazing. I could list them all, but you know, they were all, by the end of this movie, it was like they were all best friends, you know, and I love seeing that. And I think everybody really got to sort of live out a dream, you know, working with Luke and Greg and, you know, Sarah and Molly and Lou and, Patrick Renna, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who was the star of The Sandlot, you know, many years ago. Being able to be around those guys and seeing how the kids reacted and worked with them was so nice and so fun and really just a joy to be able to watch them interact like that. And, you know, I just love feeling like we, you know, inspired these guys, these young actors, to keep at it because they're all talented. And I think they all have a great future.
I agree with you. Michael Cash is going to go places. I think Etienne Kalicki, who played Walker, he definitely has a future ahead of him. These kids, they are amazing. Jack Huckabee is just, I see big things on his future.
Yeah, I agree. They really all brought different things.
Yeah, Jacob did an amazing job. An amazing job as Jack.
Yes, I thank you. Yeah. They surprised me in many, many ways. I mean, several of the boys didn't really have a lot of scripted lines. And, you know, at the end of it, we kind of let them, you know, play around and do some ad-lib. And they ended up getting lines in the movie now that, you know, weren't even really planned. And so it really became, you know, a good opportunity for everybody to step up their game and get their names recognized out there. I hope, you know, I think it's a cool opportunity for them, and I just really hope that they'll continue to grow and become great actors.
Well, and I definitely saw you grow as a filmmaker and a storyteller with this one. That's one of the great things with your films, Ty. Iron Orchard, 12 Mighty Orphans, and now You Gotta Believe. I see your growth as a filmmaker with each of them.
Thank you.
That I love to see. So you're not stagnating. You're constantly evolving yourself.
Oh, you have to.
Job so well done, Ty. Is there anything else on the slate coming up? Now that the world is going to see this one?
I'm ready to get this one out there. I've got a few things I'm kind of working on. I've been working on a Western about Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid and their time down in Argentina, which is something that I'd love to push forward. But we'll see. It's not an easy one, and it would definitely be a bigger film, but we'll see. You know, it's early in the process, so we'll see kind of how this one goes, and if we get a little bit of, make a little noise with it, hopefully I'll get a few more opportunities to do some other things.
Hey, you've got kids, baseball, an emotional story, a true story. What is not to love about You Gotta Believe?
Well, thanks. I hope you're right.
I hope so.
We'll see very soon. We've got about 2 weeks.
Ty, it has been so wonderful getting to chat with you again and catch up. I can't wait till we get to talk again in the future.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And thanks for your enthusiasm and support. We love it.
And you take care and give my best to Lane.
I will. Thank you so much. Thanks for your time.